Hello and welcome to this episode of the AF Mentors podcast. I just started this in the middle of a conversation because this topic is going to be, or this episode is going to be about ADHD. I made the decision, Maureen. But before we get
Okay.
on, we're like, should we do the, because we've got to catch up on mastermind questions because we had so many from 30 30 that we didn't get through them on the actual mastermind. So we're going to do an extra recording for that. We're like, will we do that or will we do this? And then Maureen was like,
I don't care. I just don't want to have to make the decision.
and that's such a hard thing, right? Like, make
Yeah, like, can't. I'm just like, no, don't make me make a decision. Yeah, it's just bamboozles my brain.
do you think, actually, I've noticed I do this quite a lot with you. You don't mind making my decisions.
No.
And then once
And
they're
I'd ask you to
it's
make
quite,
mine too.
yeah, exactly. And sometimes it doesn't matter. Like in a situation like this, it's like it literally does not matter, which sometimes makes it harder. Because you're like, oh, there's really no pro or con to either. Like, and then it's harder. So you just want someone else to be like, this is what we're doing, do it. Like when I asked you this morning whether I should call it an application form or a vibe check, and you were like, bam, bam. And I was like, okay, done. But then
Yeah.
the other reason I ask you, though, is because, I mean, before you were like, I mean, you were target audience previously, right? So, you know, kind of like from the outside, I think that's the other thing with running your own business. You're like, oh, I think this is a really good idea, but you don't ever really know how you're perceived. Whereas someone on the outside, and this is why having like a mentor or asking other people, like, you know, what do you think would come across better? Because you've got more of a objective view on things.
Yeah, you can kind of look at it from a different perspective. I think with the decision making thing, like, and this is a conversation I was having with somebody the other day. It's like, it's could get deep very quick. It's like
Go on.
when you're, I found myself when I was growing up having ADHD and not knowing I had ADHD and struggling with different things, and people were kind of being like, why are you finding that hard? And questioning my abilities and stuff. Then I actually started to doubt myself to be able to make decisions for myself, and always kind of needed that reassurance from somebody else to be kind of like, is this an okay decision or am I just being really impulsive here? So I think that sometimes can be, but I know people with ADHD struggle with decision fatigue anyway. But I think for me specifically, part of it can be because my decisions were always questioned before. So I'm kind of like, am I just making a silly, impulsive decision here, or is this actually okay to do?
Okay, I've got 2 points to make on that. And also just because I think it's a good to caveat this. Like if you're listening, you're like, well, I don't have ADHD, I may as well turn off. I honestly think that most of the things that people with ADHD struggle with are normal human traits that everyone struggles with, but people with ADHD just have a heightened struggle, right? Which actually makes this even more useful in some respects, because it's like, as an example, like the reason I've got my tattoo of a wave is because I am naturally quite impulsive and it doesn't really do me, serve me particularly well, right? So then I'm like, okay. You know, like have a pause before you make a decision, like force that, try to respond and not react to things. And because I've had to work harder on that, I think I'm actually better at it. Same with like when I was at school, I really struggled with everything, right? Heavily dyslexic, but it meant that I had to study harder. So I had to learn how to study. Whereas so many of my mates were, and I don't know to what extent you can be naturally intelligent, but they just seemed to kind of breeze through exams. Like they didn't really have to study for them and they still got really good grades, right? Whereas that never ever happened to me. Now, when you get to the point of being at uni, it's much harder to just not study and pass exams. Like you can kind of get away with that at school. And those were my mates who struggled, who were like always just got A's and everything, never really had to work that hard. And then it went suddenly when it was like, oh no, you actually have to work hard now. They didn't really know how to study or how to work hard or what, because they've never had to do that. Same kind of thing with a lot of this, like decision fatigue. I take away so many daily decisions and just have better structure. And I think everyone would probably benefit from that to some degree. But when you're someone who really struggles with decision fatigue, it's like, that's like life-changing, right? And you become very good at it because it has such a big impact. And the way that I always think about this like another a kind of like another example of this is like if I don't exercise in the morning, I just don't show up well at all. I can't concentrate very well. And an even heightened example of that is the most consistent client I ever had, who was this woman called Larissa, and she had Parkinson's disease. And she, if she didn't exercise in the morning, her tremor was just so much worse, like almost kind of like unlivable, right? Whereas if she just did her 15 minutes of exercise in the morning, like she saw the immediate result of that. And that's why sometimes I think, you know, someone might look at me and be like, oh, so disciplined. It's like, no, because I see the immediate negative of not doing those things, like of not exercising in the morning, of not having a good routine, of not planning ahead. Like I feel those straight away. So it's not the delayed reward that I'm waiting for, or like the delayed negativity of, I don't know, putting on weight or getting out of shape or health complications. I'm like, I notice it within the hour, you know, within that first hour of the morning.
Yeah, it's the thing with those things. It's like sometimes it can feel hard to actually implement them because you have, you know, you're kind of battling against yourself, but it's actually finding a routine to get consistent with those things. It can make such a difference straight away. But I know a lot of people, like I do like structure and routine, and most people with ADHD do cope well with structure and routine, but some people can really struggle to implement that. And it's like finding the right system for you that's going to allow you to implement that in a way that's going to work for you and that you're going to feel the benefits at the same time.
Do you ever find that there's like a fine line with people between, I really struggle with that, or more like, this is the part I hate. I can't do that. I've got ADHD, or I need to do this because I've got ADHD or whatever. And well, I can't really remember the point I was making. The example I'm thinking of is I once had a client, right, who was like, oh no, I can't stick to a training program. I have ADHD, so I need everything to be novel and new every single time. And I was like, grow up.
Come on.
Like, come on. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, sometimes people use it as an excuse of like, oh, well, you know what? You'd need to come up with a completely different program for me every single week. And I'm like, no, go and get a different coach. Like, I'm not doing that. But I think you can pander to stuff too much, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely people will use it as an excuse. 100%. But is that? It's just an excuse to themselves to be kind of
Yeah,
like,
it's like
no.
it's not going to get you any, but like, yeah, you can use it as an excuse, but then you won't have results.
Yeah. It's like, it's not to invalidate that, you know, ADHD can make things harder, but it's like, okay, yeah, but it can make things harder, but it you still can do things and do things very well. You just might have to work a bit harder to do it.
Or my biggest thing was like, it's a somewhat a permission to do things differently.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, you know, people will generally be like, well, this is what works for this, or you should never do this, or you should always have this level of flexibility, or you should blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, cool. Maybe for most people, but that doesn't work for me. And that's okay because I'm wired slightly differently, rather than thinking you're doing something wrong. Now, this is quite interesting. I want to get this is part of the reason I wanted to talk to you about this today. And this whole like permission to do it differently, because the way that I often think about this, or the example I'm thinking of, is with diet and exercise around like routine and discipline. And I went through a stage, honestly, probably like when I was influenced by like some of Amelia's work, that I was like, oh, is what I do like quite disordered? You know, because it, you know, or something would come up like, oh, you know, if you're eating the same breakfast and lunch every day, like that must mean that you're, I don't know, like disordered in some way, or blah, blah, blah. And I mean, the crux of it for me was like, I had to really look at the intent behind what I was doing. And it wasn't that like, if I didn't have the same lunch, I'd freak out and everything would be ruined. It was just like, this works for me. I don't want to make decisions every single day. And like, I change it up now and again, but like, for quite long periods of time, I just eat the same thing and then I get bored of it and then I'll change it. But it means I'm not every single day thinking, oh, what will I have for lunch today? Like I'm too busy to do that. And on a weekend or something, I will think, oh, what will I have for lunch today? And, oh, maybe I'll go out for brunch or whatever. Like it's not that I'm tied to it or I feel constrained by it, but it works. And I think that like intent behind the action is very important, especially if you're doing something that's like slightly different. And for some people, probably would be disordered, right?
Yeah, this is with like, the whole relationship with food side of things where I'm kind of like, we have this message about you have unconditional permission to eat and don't keep foods out of the house and stuff like that. And I'm like, do keep it out of the fucking house. You might have unconditional permission to eat, but that's not helpful to somebody who is extremely impulsive around food and needs some sort of constraints to be able to function well. So yeah, that's where I find that I'm like, I'm kind of, my message is a bit blurred there because yes, I am like an advocate for unconditional permission to eat, but I do think for people who struggle with those things, and if you have ADHD and you have like really impulsive tendencies, then having shit in the house that you're going to be impulsive around, it's not going to be beneficial to you. So yes, you have to make like a rule. I know people say don't make food rules. Make fucking food rules if you have to make food rules. It's like, don't keep them in the house. Create a barrier for yourself to make it harder for you to engage in those impulsive behaviors. But I think everybody's kind of going along the lines of, oh, that's, we shouldn't be doing that. It's like, okay, but somebody who's neurodiverse needs to do that to be able to function well and to be able to carry out their day-to-day behaviors and actually feel like they have a handle on stuff. So yeah, no, I totally agree. It's actually something that kind of gets on my nerves a small bit. I'm kind of like, everyone's saying unconditional permission to eat, and but for some people, that message just is not helpful.
No, but for a lot of people, it's really not
Yeah.
helpful. I would actually say for quite a small percentage of people, it is. Or even just like the knowledge of like, for the context of like who we work with, say on Commit Six, like the unconditional permission to eat is like, yeah, you can have anything you want, but it all has consequences, right? Like, so you're still probably going to want to like eat mostly in line with your goals. The reason that we promote it is more like the imperfect action side of like, oh, hey, if you do have something that you hadn't planned to have, like don't catastrophize.
Your sound just went there. What happened? We're just having a small bit of technical difficulty.
How does it, is it back? No.
Yeah.
Wait, I need to figure out how to get rid of this. This is what happened when my AirPods run out of charge. They just connect to the computer.
Ah.
It's tres annoying.
No bueno.
No bueno.
But yeah, back to that topic just there, so it's not like boring for people to be listening.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure everyone very much enjoyed that.
Yeah, that little AirPod.
My point was just like confirming what you were saying. And I think it's such a waste of brain energy to be like, do you know what I'll do? Surround myself with temptation of foods that I actively kind of want to avoid at the moment in line with my goals. And even if you've not got a fat loss goal, like I don't want to have junk food all around my house. Like I don't perform well on junk food. I also think there's an element of like often people with ADHD, then whether that's like, I think this is again like true for everyone, but potentially heightened if you have ADHD, but certain foods like just do not suit well with me, like in terms of concentration or like impulsive, well, whether it's impulsivity or not, I think so much more clearly when I'm eating well, and I that is probably true for everyone. But the point I wanted to make about not surrounding yourself with temptation, like why would you do that? And then you have to use willpower or restraint. It's like, but you could be using that for like if you think, okay, I've got this much brain energy during the day, and now I'm going to use what like 50% of it to surround myself with food and try and stick to this like eating schedule that I'm on or diet that actually makes me feel good while surrounded by other stuff. It's like you don't want to do that. Now, it might not always be possible. You might have a family who, kids who have certain foods and stuff, like fine, but you can certainly scope that. And realistically, you probably don't want your kids to eat loads of junk food anyways. It's probably not going to be much of a negative. And I totally agree. And it's not about putting those foods off, like off limits, but it's like, yeah, well, if I do have chocolate cake, it will be a treat and I'll have it out and I'll have a really nice one instead of like always having it in the house.
Yeah, and like you're less likely to be impulsive when you're actually going out for it, or you have to go out of your way for it rather than just having it there and being bored and being like, dopamine, boom, let's bury the head in all the sweets.
Yeah, or even if you're like, oh, cool, I bought this whole chocolate cake from Tesco or whatever, you're probably going to be more likely to have two pieces, three pieces than if you go out and you have some for pudding. It's like, okay, well, what am I going to order another? Like, you're probably not going to be like, oh, I'll have a second pudding, thanks. Even if that's like peer pressure working in a good way, right? Of like, are you okay? Like, you've had a massive meal and everyone's had pudding, and what now you're ordering your second one.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, other things I wanted. So the reason I was thinking about this is because I read a stat and I actually don't know if the stat is correct because I tried to look it up and then it got too mathsy in my head. But anyway, it said that people with ADHD are 300% more likely to open a business.
I don't know the statistics, but I have heard
In
that.
Forbes.
What?
It was in Forbes, so it must be right.
Okay. But I have heard that people who have ADHD are more likely to be entrepreneurs, yeah, because they'll take more risks, more creative, will because they will work at something, because we're able to like channel our energy into something that we really enjoy and make it become like a passion and something like that, that more likely to go down that route rather than staying doing something that you don't actually like.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things in my head anyway. I think act being action orientated. There's a thumbs up.
I don't have that.
Yeah, sorry about that. I think that has a massive impact. Like, I know if I have an idea, like I want to do it now. And I think that as a business owner, like that is absolute gold. Most people overthink their ideas and then never actually action them. Better to action it and it still be the wrong idea, but then move swiftly on to the next thing because you're excited about something else. I also think hyper focus more generally, like you said, like kind of becoming obsessed with one thing and being like, I'm so excited about this, I'm so obsessed with it. Like, I think energy and how passionate you are about something is such a huge element in how well your business does. And if you become hyper focused on something, like you kind of know it's going to go well. And then another thing that is kind of like as an aside to this, I think that you generally don't work very well for other people.
No.
So I think it's a kind of like, well, you're also kind of forced to work for yourself because if, like, I know that whenever I worked for somebody else, like, the only jobs that I did relatively well in were ones that I had quite a lot of, what's the right word? Not so much flexibility, but like self-ownership on projects. So, like, I worked as a research assistant for a while, and actually, that was okay because I didn't feel like, I had quite a few different projects. I was kind of in control of them, and like I'd been given a project to be in control of rather than felt like I was working for somebody else. So it was like, and same with like PhD work, it's like you're working for your own thing as much as you are technically getting paid to do it via a university or something. There was like more ownership on what you were doing, and you
Yeah.
saw the direct output, not in terms of like you'd get paid more if it did well, but it was like, if I put the effort in here, I get these results, I get to publish this, I get to, there was like, I could see that if I put in more effort, I would get more from it. Whereas other jobs where you can't see that, I'm just like there's no motivation for me to do that.
Yeah, it's a sense of autonomy.
That's it.
That's yeah. In my last job, like I was very good at my last job. It was a great job. Like I took to it very well, but I got to the stage where I was bored, and I was like high up in the chain in there. I was like a kind of a supervisor or whatever, but there was still a manager above me, and she liked to kind of micromanage a small bit, and that just to me, I was kind of like, no, please. I just didn't like it. But then I had a conversation with my boss, and she was like, you know, what's going on? You're in such a bad mood or whatever. And like me being me and being very blunt, I was like, I'm bored. I am bored here. I just don't like what I'm doing or whatever. So then when I was given more responsibility and more sense of autonomy, she was like, you're thriving. You're thriving. I was like, exactly. Because now I'm actually able to do stuff without having people kind of picking on me the whole time. And it's like, you know, like I'm technically working for you. but
Oh,
I'm still working.
no. I think according to HMRC, you are very much self-employed.
True. But at the same time, like we work well as a team. And I think like that, it's like, okay, some people think, oh, self-employed, you just want to be on your own all the time. It's like, no, but you want to be able to feel like you can have an input and come up with your own ideas and kind of do your own thing as well and not be kind of just robotic about this is the way that everything has to be done. Because yeah, that's where I'm kind of like, absolutely not. I'll switch off.
Yeah, and I think the reason that works well is because I don't look over your shoulder. You've got your own clients. So essentially, that's your own business. They just come via G Fitness. And then I always want your input. And you're given like tasks that you do. It's not like me looking over your shoulder all the time. It's like, okay, well, you do that bit then and you manage it. Yeah. So I think you're right. Like you can probably still work in some capacities for other people as long as they're jobs that you have like your own autonomy around.
Yeah, and something that you're interested in. Like half the stuff that we do here, we don't actually classify it as work. We're here on a Sunday recording a podcast. We've both been working like every day this week and for the last number of weeks indefinitely. But it's like because we actually enjoy it and it's something that we found that we're passionate about, we can utilize our ADHD-ness and channel it into something that we really enjoy. And then we see the benefits from it. And like that's when you can learn to utilize those like superpower source things and put them into the right places. Like you do actually feel like you have a bit of a superpower. Like I mightn't have been very academic, but I was always told that I'm good at anything that I do. And I don't like toot my own horn, but I am. Like with sports or music or dancing or anything like that, or anything like to do with my hands. Like, yeah, I'm able to pick things up very. I was waiting for it. Well, that's included. But
Well, do you know
yeah,
what?
it's a
Same.
given. Yeah. Okay, moving swiftly along. Private joke.
Yeah, I'm not sure some people will be able to pick up on that. But
Yeah,
anyway,
exactly.
yeah, agree. Yeah, I think I'm the same. I'm in very, very bad at anything that I don't really want to be good at.
Yeah.
And anything that I do choose that I want to be good at, I can get pretty good at. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you find it shows up differently in your personal life versus your work life?
Yeah. Definitely. I think with my work life, I'm able to be a bit more disciplined and kind of do stuff that I kind of know, okay, this has to be done. Whereas personal life, I have a tendency to be like, I don't want to do that. That's boring. That's mundane. And just continuously push it off. Or like I'll do that tomorrow and never do it.
Yeah. So I'll give you two examples of this. Like the sometimes I don't like talking about this because I think, oh God, like our clients will listen, or like people thinking about joining AFM will listen and be like, Emma is scatty as hell. And the thing is, I am not in business. Like I am on the ball in my personal life. Oh, like you know this, but I almost got taken to court for not paying like my flat management fees, even though I like, yes, I have more than enough money to pay them, but I just kept like I think it was partly because I wasn't getting the bills because they were, but like people are like, you should have, like you should know how to pay these, like you should. Same thing happened with my council tax. They were like, you have this huge. I was like, oh, sorry about that. Like, but again, like that kind of stuff, I'll just put off. Another example after this, I'm about to go and buy a lock for my front door. I haven't been able to get into my front door for probably over a year now. I just use the back door all the time. Can't open the front door anymore. There's literally, this will take me 30 minutes to do. Like, apparently, I've Googled it now. You just need to change like one little thing. The only reason I'm actually doing it is because I'm going to rent this flat out. I was like, probably should fix a lock. But I will go so far out my way to literally walk around the back of my house every single time. When people come and see me, I'm like, you have to go around the back. Sorry, the front door doesn't open anymore. Like, it's so stupid, and it's only going to take me probably 30 minutes to do. And I think the bit I need is like £12. so stupid, but like that kind of stuff, I find it so tedious. I'm like, it's not worth my brain energy. It's not worth my time. So I just put it off.
Yeah, but it's like anything that you don't find interesting, or you like you've often said this, like I don't see a point in that, so I don't want to do it. Yeah. And like I'm bad as well with bills and stuff like that. Or if it doesn't have like a direct debit set up where I don't have to think about it, if it comes to me and it's like you have to pay this, do you know what I'm bad for? Is driving through those tolls where you have to pay online. I'll drive through and be like, oh yeah, I'll pay for that now when I get to my hotel or whatever. There's one in Dublin, like I think when you're going to the airport, is it? I can't remember. But there's one where you have to like pay online, or if you have like a fob thing, I don't know. But I always forget to pay it before I go, drive through, and then you have up until like 8 o'clock in the evening to pay it. Always forget to pay it, and next thing I get like a penalty fee in the post, and I'm like, fuck it. Or then forget to pay the penalty fee, and it just gets even bigger. It's like, oh, things like that. Yeah, I'm bad at.
It's often, I don't know if I'm so bad at this because I think I now see like a point in it, or I've become a bit more interested in it, but generally people are really bad at finances.
Yeah, what's it called? ADHD tax. Yeah.
Not very
That's.
good. What would you say? So we've spoken a little bit about like some of the benefits. What have you found are like the biggest kind of like things you found hardest or negatives?
Things I found hardest. I definitely struggled with like being consistent with things. Like consistency is a struggle for me. And that could be with anything. Like I could be doing something for a while, could be taking creatine for a while, and then I'll just totally forget about it and won't have that consistent routine. Again, I'll get like hyper focused with like, oh yes, I'm doing this new thing for a while, and then it gets a bit boring and I'm like, I struggle to stay consistent with doing that. So if there's not like a very easy repeatable, even though like the sounds of like just taking a fucking scoop of creatine sounds very easy, for some reason my brain just like shuts off and totally forgets about it. So that's what I find hard is being able to be consistent with some things. Yeah, and it's a real problem, big problem. So that's probably my biggest negative, is struggling to stay consistent with something for long periods of time.
See, I find consistency is quite interesting. Like, I think it's so much easier to be consistent if you're doing it every day. I don't know if that's a really obvious statement to make, but when people are trying to get to the gym like 3 times a week, and I'm like, you need to do it every day. Like, for some people, they just need to do it every day. So it becomes part of their every day. It's like, that's a bad example because I actually don't struggle to remember to take creatine if I'm taking it every day and it's part of my routine. But if it was like, oh, 2 times a week, you need to remember to take some creatine, there's absolutely no chance I would remember to do that. Now, obviously, like I could just set a reminder and I'm sure that I'd do it. But I just find like if there's important things that you want to get consistent with, it's like do it every day, put it in a morning routine and just like be strict with yourself.
Yeah, see, my brain likes the sound of that. And I do like the sound of that. And I do try really hard. This is the problem. Like, I do try really hard and then something just switches off. Yeah.
Interesting.
It is interesting. But yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah, we will. Okay, so I had a couple of practical points I thought I would share. And so often, and this will be helpful for everybody as well, this is more like how to manage your time or how to kind of like systemize your life a little bit, or just basically like the 3 tiers I use for this. And the whole point is like to systemize your life for like maximal potential. And it's very simple. So number one is Google Calendar. And the reason for that is have one place for everything. I think broadly with time management systems in inverted commas, sometimes they're just so complicated that it's like you're spending more time figuring out your time management system than you are actually saving time from having it, or you forget, you're like, oh, that might be on that big spreadsheet that I had over here, but it's not on this thing. So it's like it needs to be one place. If you want to do it paper, fine, but it needs to all be in one place. I would recommend not paper because shit changes, right? Things move, dates move, timings move, stuff comes up. Like it's just not as good. Like digital is significantly better. Below that, I have the notes on my phone. So that's where I put all my to-do lists, and I'll have them under like separate projects. These aren't like, really well organized, but it'll be like, I've got a folder for EIQ and stuff that needs to get done there. I've got a folder for all the different businesses. I've got like, okay, what needs done for the Manchester meetup? I've got what do I need to do before I move to London? Like that kind of stuff. So you kind of know what's coming up, or like a brain dump of like, oh, throughout the day, I'll be like, oh, I do want to bring that to London actually. If I was just hoping that that would stay in my memory, like that's literally never going to happen. So I put it in the notes bit. And then also ideas. Like any kind of content ideas or conversations, like especially if I'm having, and I guess like the content ideas would be more like the business side, but like if I know that I've got to have like a difficult conversation, I will always write it out first, like write out how I feel about it or the points I want to get across. And that's massively how that's something I always really struggled with, was like articulating myself in like relationships, but writing it out beforehand makes such a big difference. And then below that, there's paper. So I will literally, here's a good example, always have like a shitty scrapbook of paper with just notes down. So like some of the stuff that you've been saying, I will write down. So I'm like, oh yeah, naturally I want to make that point, or I'm going to do a post about this afterwards, and here's 3 points I'm going to make. Always, but that will just get thrown away because that doesn't even make any sense anymore. Like it's just, you couldn't read it, right? So I've kind of got three tiers to that, and I'll often do that, like if I'm on a call or something and I don't have time to write a note about the content I want to make, I might just write like two words on this piece of paper. When we end this call, I'll write it up in my notes, and then maybe later on I'll write it into a post or something. But they're the kind of like three tiers that I use. Do you have something similar?
Yeah, I have exactly the same notebook that has a
Oh, lovely.
load of shit on it. But like that, if anyone was to look at it, they'd be like, "What in the name of God?" But it makes sense to me. I do keep notes as well, and I do use the Google Calendar. But apart from that, I try to just, in some, like I say, I'm not consistent with some things, and other things, I'm just kind of like regimented about it. It's like, this is what I do, this is how I do it. And that's down to literally filling my pitta in the morning. It goes in the same order every time. Like, but I have certain things that they're just so ingrained, so built in now that they don't change. And I kind of have to kind of nearly stick by that, or I kind of feel a bit off kilter. But it's just basic things like that. Yeah, I find writing things down and having stuff in the diary or reminders, like actual, like setting actual reminders to pop up, or be like, go to bed, do this, do that, simple things like that. Or setting timers. If I know that, okay, this is a task that I'm not going to get hyper focused on, but I don't want to spend all day doing it and like be procrastinating, I might set a timer and be like, okay, this is, excuse me, this is the amount of time I'm allocating to this task. When the timer goes off, I have to stop and do something else.
Yeah, agree. I'm just thinking of what else. I think one of the important things I do, that even though it moves every week, like I have like recurring schedule of commit to six podcast, recording a solo episode, the EC method, two live calls. Now they change every week, but I've put them generally where they are. So then I can just move them. Again, the benefit of a digital diary, but like you know that those, and same with EIQ Live, it's like it's all scheduled in. So, I can look months in advance and I can see what's going to be on those weeks on what days. And yeah, there's some of them might move, but at least like every single week that has to happen. Like where you're going to slot it in around other stuff that you've got going on.
I do think as well, like from a business standpoint, is like actually blocking in time to, and again, this can be hard if you are in like a hyper focus mode, but blocking in time to like get off your laptop, move around, change the scenery a small bit, and then get back to it again. Because I find that, you could be doing work for a while, but then after, like, it's like diminishing, your output is actually diminishing. You're sitting there doing nothing, but you think, oh, it's from working. Yeah, but you're fucking doing sweet fuck all, twiddling.
Yeah, it's that realization of like, because sometimes you're like, well, I'm still getting something done. And then I'll often, this will happen to me in the evening. I'm like, yeah, but would what's going to take you an hour right now take you 15 minutes in the morning? I'm like, yeah, 100%. And it'll be better in the morning because my brain's much better in the morning. So then I'm just like, right, it's time to stop.
Yeah. Now I know we're kind of different on some things in the sense that you might block in time to like answer your messages and stuff like that, whereas I am quite urgent impulse now. If I see a message come in or something, I'm like, I have to just deal with it now. I'm that kind of, and some people might say, oh, don't be answering all your notifications straight away, but it just seems to work for me. Like when it comes into my head, it's fresh on my mind. I'm like, I'm just going to deal with it now rather than having to be thinking about it for the day, thinking, okay, well, I'm going to sort that later. I'm kind of like, I just need to sort
Do
that now.
you know why you wouldn't be thinking about it? Because you've turned your notifications off. And that you're right. I'm the same. Like if I see something pop up, I'm like, that I need to do that now. But if I don't see it pop up, then it makes no difference going in when I'm walking on the treadmill and answering all the messages.
Yeah, but see, sometimes I forget to click into the app if I don't see something there to remind me.
Yeah, no, I get that. Yeah. I've got a bit better at that. I think it's, but it, to be fair, it's certain notifications. And because I have them in such different places, like I only check the EC Method Facebook group twice a day. And I'm quite strict on that now. I don't really get notifications for it. Or if I do, like, just ignore them until I go into it. Same with Instagram. I'll just, like, don't get the notifications. I'll just check when I go on. But WhatsApp, I still am quite, like, responsive to.
Like there's some things, like I suppose, like we manage a lot of different places where there's notifications. So like Mighty Networks for like AFM or Commit, I mightn't respond to them straight away. But like that WhatsApp, Instagram, different things like that that are like constantly on the go, I would be a bit more responsive to. And then like you see, if I didn't see notifications for some of the Instagrams, I'm
Yeah,
kind of
you
like,
manage like five different Instagrams now.
yeah, so like I need to have them there to kind of remind me.
Agree.
Yeah,
All
but
right.
I think the
Well,
important thing is like knowing what works for you as a person, because like something might work for me and it might be absolutely horrendous for you. And that's the thing with anyone listening. It's like what we've said is our experience and what works for us. And obviously, there's certain things that we know work for people with ADHD, but the important thing is to figure out what actually works for you as an individual.
yeah. Excellent roundup. And I think from me back to that point about like it's the permission to do things differently, but you don't need a fucking ADHD diagnosis to do that. You can just be like, oh, look, I'm an individual. That person's advice doesn't actually really work for me. Fine. It's strange because we're always looking for this right way to do something. And then when you're like, yeah, but I like mackerel. Do you like it? No. Then don't eat it. Like, and then it just seems like really obvious. Oh, you don't like that form of exercise. Okay, let's do a form that you do enjoy. Or, it doesn't suit you to use your notes to write notes down because you don't need to and you just remember them. Okay, then don't do it. Like, yeah. Know thyself, test things out, see what works, and don't be worried if it's not exactly what works for other people.
Agree.
Okay, well, I hope that was useful for people, and I'm sure we'll be back with more at some point.
Yes. Bye.